When you were an infant, I wanted to own you more than you would let me. After all, I had summoned you into the world. But it didn't quite work out that way. "Don't look me in the eye," you said, as I sat by your high chair, trying to shovel in a last spoonful of peas. You were seriously slow to walk and talk, so this first sentence was greeted by me with somewhat forced laughter, and by your aunt and granny with mild outrage. How dare she talk like that? How peculiar, how rude. Were you uncertain of your welcome, or early declaring your autonomy? "No, child of mine," I said to myself as we sized each other up, but I did adjust the angle of the spoon so we weren't nose to nose. Europe was historically cold that winter, and in Paris at your Uncle Hugh's house, there was no heat. Either by intention or indecision, the radiators remained off. We slept in our clothes, and you slept every night in your blue bassinet, completely dressed, ready to flee at a moment's notice. We are each other's grand experiment. You respond well and patiently to my amateurish ministrations. We sidle around and watch each other, each looking to the other for the appropriate response. I think I'm making mistakes every day. We accelerate and decelerate our intimacies. Some days you are my baby girl, and some days you are daddy's. The push-pull, want-not-want of baby Charlotte. You are the first to deprive me of sleep, sanity, and hot tea. After you were born, I ritually cut my hair short and binned the Laura Ashley maternity wear. You have soft, fluffy hair that is still the colour of old gold and long, bandy legs zipped into comfy all-in-ones. You are a tiny pink feist with deep dimples and blue eyes glittering with yellow flecks. Until your sister arrives, we spend a lot of time eyeballing each other sideways. Content mostly, when held looking over my shoulder, you are happiest watching, waiting, wondering. You are known as the Empress Morsel, who says few words and uses halting hand gestures to summon us. You peep at me through your crib, beckoning with your grin, happy when your tummy is warmed and rounded with milk and applesauce. You aren't cute, but you are compelling. Since you won't walk, you develop super upper body strength, hauling yourself around on your elbows and bumping down the stairs on your bottom. I have to sit on you to put on your clothes. Your back arches, body rigid, with jaws snapping. That first year, neither one of us has much to do. I quit a non-job of the clerical variety to stay home with you. We invent certain practices. I gently peel off your fingernails with my teeth. Play with me, little one. Let's match hands together. Let's blow. Let's puff in each other's faces. I squeeze your cozy thighs, and you pinch my cheeks. Once in a while, I am rewarded when you lay your head quietly on my shoulder and signal that you feel safe. Daddy is out most of the days and evenings, teaching, so we are left to shop, nap, clean, eat and read together. Your ceiling is dull, so I stick up some nighttime stars, which frighten more than fascinate you. I don't have any friends with children in Washington, D.C., where we live, and the pediatrician's efforts to match me with various older mothers is a complete and embarrassing bust. Bored, lonely, and desperate, I decide that the crackheads and the coke dealers won't attack a white girl with a pram. So we defiantly roll down 12th Street to the corner of Clifton by the local high school. The girls coo at you, and the boys with guns and drugs, doing their deals, turn their backs on us. We take the hill downtown, catching the classic view of the Washington Monument and the Capitol, and stirring up a light breeze as I work out how many groceries I can stick under the pram. Together, we locate the first proper coffee shop in D.C., where we feast on sticky buns. I stay as long as I can without testing the owner's patience. You turn your skylit smile and halting charm on him. You are the only infant on 17th Street in those days, a rarity. There isn't much to stimulate you until a group of lawyers in their late 30s invites us into their playgroup. Me, a 24-year-old Londoner living deep in the DC ghetto, and they, Ethan Allen suburbanites with 401ks and competitively childproofed homes.